The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the Day. Downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Not as great as you after a fantastic tennis betting night last night. Whoa.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That was a good day.
Not bad.
Today was a good day, as Cube once said. We'll get to that momentarily. We'll get to the Carlos Alcaraz historic upset last night. We will get to Paul Carr, Premier League plays coming. Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports, talk college football with us. Jason Weingarten. Dr. Bob makes his weekly college football appearance. I'm not sure if he has any additional plays from what he's already given out. He'll certainly repeat those. But we'll talk how he comes up with his college football priors. For those who want nerdy handicapping talk, we'll talk about how he comes up with his priors and week one trends in college football through the years, macro trends that he's got the old database. He does his model. He does his technical analysis. So we'll get into his technical analysis on that kind of stuff. First, though, I just want to shout out Mitch and Paul. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, who have done Follow the Money for 7 years. Kelly, you and I, just to give perspective on this, Kelly, you and I wake up, not together, by the way, I wake up at 4:55 a.m. to do a 7 a.m. morning show, so 2 hours before the show starts, with 5 minutes change. I assume they get up 2 hours before their show, too. Mm-hmm. They have broadcast now for 7 years from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m., so Their world, the difference between what we do and what they do is, even though we wake up early, we can have normal lives. What they have done for 7 years is mind-boggling. They wake up literally in the middle of the night to do a show at the crack of dawn. And I know East Coast, they're like, oh, it's 7 to 10. But right, they're actually up from 4 to 7, or have been. And what a moment in their lives this must be, that this is the last day they ever have to do that again. Now, I know their loyal audience is sad that they're moving, but Mitch has a child now, and after 7 years, think about the percentage of your life that is.
Wow, it's crazy.
If you're lucky enough to live 80 years, that's a massive percentage of your life. And so, good for them, but I just want to shout them out because the ability to wake up at that hour, 5 days a week, and forget whether you even, like, forget that. Just go to the baseline that you can speak cogently on sports.
About sports that occurred the night before.
That just occurred hours before that. I once asked Mitch, I was like, what is your routine? And he's like, it's always different, which makes it even more mind-boggling. How is it always different?
So I worked on that show when we were in the heart of the pandemic, and it was basically the only show going at the network. I know you started up a little bit after, but we were going in at I was waking up at midnight and would go into the South Point. I mean, that's what that schedule's like for those guys working on that shift. And it was easier back then. Why? Because there was no sports going on, right? So I could actually go to bed at 5 p.m. and wake up at midnight. But that is the type of sleep schedule that you're talking about. So, yes, 7 years, that is incredible that they did it for that long. Happy for them that they get to move to an afternoon. And I caught a bit of the show this morning. Thought the best line was, toss out the alarm clocks. Don't have to worry about that ever again.
For the rest of their days on Earth. So shout out to those two guys who, by the way, in case you missed it, I should probably have said this at the beginning. They announced this morning on Follow the Money that they are moving. The show's not ending. They are moving to afternoons, 4 to 7 Eastern, 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, beginning this coming Monday, Labor Day, 3 days from now.
Time-wise, we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah. People were wondering. We're not going anywhere. We're right here, same time slot, every day. I've been doing this time slot for 7.5 years. they'll have to take, what's the line? They'll take me out of my, whatever it is, pull me out of here. I have no idea what I'm saying. 7.5 years we've been doing this. So, again, tip of the cap, the ultimate tip of the cap to those two guys. From the tennis world, yesterday, quite a day. We had ourselves a day, people. 5-0, four of them dogs. And we just got just so much love on Twitter yesterday. People, by the way, people parlaying. We should show some of these parlays people were doing. But it was like a 69-1 parlay or something like that, hitting them all. But it was it began with the biggest dog of them all, Jordan Thompson, in the morning. Straight sets over Hubert Hurkacz. Then Jesse Buzas Monero is a +157 dog. Straight sets over Katie Bolter. Then, you know, Daniel Evans was the guy who was, Nuno Borges, you know, he was down a break early to Tanasi Kokkinakis, and you're like, well, this is probably going to, straight set winner, +115 over Kokkinakis. Daniel Evans, who played the longest match in U.S. Open history 2 days before that, straight sets over Mariano Navone. He overcame a couple breaks too. And then Karolina Muchova, the nightcap, over Naomi Osaka, the two-time U.S. Open champion. Muchova was just fantastic, and she won in straight sets. So not only a 5-0 with four dogs, but 13-0 in sets. Here's just one example from Nick Kalt. What are his odds here? 69-1, something like that. By the way, we don't endorse the parlays, but people apparently were doing them on their own. So we got a whole bunch. By the way, as little as three Canadian dollars. We got people.
This one threw me off this morning. I believe this is the Canadian dollars. Go. Yes, the CAD. One.
Yeah. So good on everybody.
What was that? 20 to win 1,300. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just. What I said is this has been a very interesting 2024 calendar tennis season because hard court season. You can just keep flashing some of these up. Yeah. By the way,
250 to win almost 20 grand.
By the way, one of these will.
So there's Big Tips Golf, though. This is
This is different. What we're getting at here, I think he had two. One of his is different, which we'll get to momentarily. But I just want to say this: it's 2024. The calendar season of tennis has been just a roller coaster ride because hard court season to begin was fantastic. Then clay was like super unlucky, and believe me, I'm aware of what's bad and what's unlucky, and it was just relentlessly unlucky. But you just have to, if you believe in your process, you just stick with it. It's sort of a macro lesson with handicapping. Then grass season did suck. Like, it wasn't just unlucky; it sucked. Then the Olympics and hard courts returned again. It was another soaring thing. And then last week we just couldn't win a match all of a sudden, and you're like, well, what's going on here? And then so it's nice to have a day where it all manifests. Nobody quits on you. This has been a very unlucky year with the number of things that have happened. So it could have been a great, even greater year. But it is a winning year. Zach and Cheese hat tip to Gil. Tennis selections given out. Not only did Gil sweep, he didn't drop a set masterclass. Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope everybody cashed with us. I don't want to read through all these, but rumor has the owner of the sushi place listens to ANG, and he will now allow you to announce the sushi place. Five dogs, five winners, all straight sets. Mazel tov. Thank you, Ryan Morstein. My mishpucha. Michael Harrison, the sportsbook's going to start taking down those lines again. Great job today, Gil. Sets up for a nice weekend. I only have one play today. Jack Locke showing. This is, by the way, every pick from every host and every guest in every sport is at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. And this is how they appear. That's how they appeared yesterday. Jack Locks, what a day. Muchova. Oh, by the way, our Muchova quarter bet still obviously moves along as well as Kalinskaya in Q2, where Elena Rybakina pulled out. That was part of the handicap that she's very, sort of unreliable.
Oh, that's what happened yesterday?
Yeah, she pulled out. It's her seventh tournament of the year that she's pulled out of.
Are you serious?
Yeah, something's going on with her. When she plays, she's great. But
Wait, what is it like,
been abdominal stuff.
It's like real stuff, though? It's not like it's real. Down and quitting, that sort
of
thing?
Well, she did break up with her coach, but there's been something going on with her all year, and I don't want to speculate. I don't know what's going on. I hope she's okay. Today, it was more with a handicap. It was more of, There was a few that the numbers suggested I should play. I may live to regret not playing them, but I did not pull the trigger on Junsheng Shang against Casper Ruud, even though there was some value on him. I respect Casper Ruud's game too much to just trust the numbers implicitly on that. Also, the same thing with Elena Gabriela Rus against Paula Badosa, who's our quarter, our Q3 futures play. Her numbers are spectacular, but this is a big step up in competition. So, I don't necessarily make the translation to a bet. The only bet is on Elise Mertens. Got Elise Mertens at +199 over the American Maddie Keys. This should not be close to plus 199. So that's the only play I landed on today. Sorry, after the 5-0 to only have one play, but that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And I could have forced plays. At least Mertens plus 199 over Madison Keys, also dictated by the numbers. What's the number right now on Mertens? She is plus 193, so still very, very available.
Also, how much more does it feel like you don't need to force plays after a 5-0?
It's so much
easier to be like, nope, I'm going to go real light.
The big story, though, and this is the biggest story in sports, with apologies to Dion, the biggest story in sports yesterday was Carlos Alcaraz lost in straight sets to Botic van de Zandschulp.
Obviously.
I mean, there's no way you could predict this. Alcaraz, 21 winners and 27 unforced errors. It's like somebody else inhabited his body. Zach Cohen, our own Zach Cohen, did a great write-up about this at VSiN.com. Before the match, you could have gotten Zandeschulp at about 28-1, something in the 20s to 1. Alcaraz was minus 10,000. By the way, there's minus 10,000 favorites in tennis all the time, like when Sinner or Djokovic or Alcaraz play somebody much lesser than them. But they never come. I mean, rarely in the history of tennis. Zach does a great job pointing out the history. Alcaraz lost as a minus 20,000 favorite against Fabian Morazon last year in Rome. I remember that. So that might have been a little bigger of a dog. I will argue, and he says many will argue, I will argue this, that Robin Soderling's fourth-round win over Rafa Nadal at the French Open in 2009 was the biggest upset of all time. But Zach points out the odds don't actually reflect that. Soderling was plus 1575 in that match, not what van de Zandschulp was yesterday. And then just by average odds at a major, he says Lucas Rosal's win over Nadal at Wimbledon in 2012. I don't even remember that. Might take the cake. So the average odds on Rosal was plus 22. Oh, it was 22-1. But last night, I mean, what the heck was that?
I've heard the name 10 times. I still can't see it.
Botic van de Zandschulp?
Yeah. Botic.
We actually, there was a primetime action where he was playing. I'll refresh your memory on the other side. What about Dion? That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada of the Day. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Paul Zhang at Zhang 100. Glad you're staying in the 10 a.m. Eastern time slot. Do we know who's taking 7 a.m.? Hey, enough with the questions.
Find out Monday morning.
Todd Hoyer. Going to miss them in the morning. He's talking about Mitch and Paul, in case you missed it. Mitch and Paul announcing that Follow the Money is moving to afternoons. 4-7 Eastern, 1-4 Pacific, starting this Monday. After 7 years of doing that time slot, Todd Hoyer says, going to miss them in the morning. Would hope it's Gil, but I don't think Gil and Kelly get up that early. No, we don't. Sorry, did I say that loud?
Get up early enough.
That's right. The numbers, guys. No barking from the dog, no smog. Mama made the breakfast with no hog. It was a good day. That's for sure. It was with tennis. Doesn't sound that. He says that part doesn't sound so special. The smog and mama cooking the breakfast, no hog. But you should celebrate with some fat burger for lunch, Gil. Yeah, 2 in the morning, got a fat burger. Chance Copperpot. Gil, thanks for the tennis dogs yesterday. But I'm sorry. Big whiff not giving out 25-1 with van de Zandschulp over Alcaraz. I'm sorry. My apologies on that.
Is Chance still the reigning sort of sharp money survivor, I believe? They do like the... Oh, he lost on Wednesday. Sorry.
I do not know.
Sorry, Chance.
Chance says, I mean, come on. Happy to see y'all staying in the same time slot as we move into the new VSiN season. And then Tokyo 2021, or 2020-21. He said, a great article by Zach, as you pointed out, on VSiN.com about the Alcaraz upset. Follow up to your note, quote, odds makers knew people would keep hammering Alcaraz. That's Zach's note. So when were the right times to back Botic in play? Zach was, I don't know what this refers to, but maybe Zach had this part in the article. But it, you know, just to give you an idea about tennis odds, when Carlos Alcaraz, and this is all derivative, right? It's all formulaic, a minus 10,000 or so favorite pre-flop loses the first two sets to Botic van de Zandschulp, you probably say to yourself, Alcaraz has to be a dog here. No, he was like a minus 170 dog heading into the last set.
Heard Matt Vasgersian say it this morning on Follow the Money. He hopped on Botic. I can't say the guy's name. He hopped on him then at plus money when he was up two sets.
It's Botic van de Zandschulp. What's the problem?
I can't do it.
What's the problem with you? It was only until he, I guess, got broken late. And it was, by the way, it was broken to love. No, maybe he got it to 1540. But it was just like this performance. You're like, what am I watching? So it was just incredible. So, yeah, just to give you an idea about tennis odds and just, you know, again, formulaic, you know, numbers just in terms of preflop in any sport versus what you will see. It's all derivative of the preflop number. And so that's what it was. You're that big of a favorite before, even down two sets to nothing. You were still a favorite. At least Carlitos was heading into the third set. So good on Vasgersian. By the way, Botik van de Zandschulp, Kelly, there's two things in this world I can't stand. It's intolerance of other cultures.
and
Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, Senior Director of Content at True Media Sports. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast and all year long, all football season long, doing stuff for The Ringer, all soccer season long, I should say, the global football, doing stuff at The Ringer as well. What exactly is The Ringer gig again?
Ringer Soccer Show. Talking Premier League, Champions League, U.S. when it comes around. So last night we just recorded our Champions League draw reaction show and looked ahead to the Premier League weekend.
I love it. Good for you, man. Multimedia celebrity you are. Let's talk about, before we get to your Premier League picks, which, by the way, 1-2 last week. Paul Carr's the guy who moves the chains every week, every year.
Got the plus 150. That's good.
You got the plus 150. So 1-2 is like half unit gone. A little more than half unit. Champions League. The draw. This is always a thing, right? Because we're always joking. We're like, oh, yeah, the random draw, in quotes. Any news to report from the draw?
I mean, Felica will tell you that Liverpool got hosed and Man City got a favorable draw, which is true. And the big story is even broader, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, over the course of the season, but they totally changed the format of Champions League.
Oh.
Instead of 32 teams and 8 groups of 4, everyone plays each other in the top 2 advance. There are now 36 teams, and it's one giant table. They're all basically one league. And one way or another, the top 24 out of 36 are all going to advance. There's different seedings. The top 8 get a bye, things like that. So I pretty much hate this new format. The draw wasn't as fun because they didn't have as many ping pong balls. Like, they just pushed Cristiano Ronaldo, just hit the no whammies button, and the computer said, here's your plane. So there's nothing shady about that at all.
What's no whammies? Yeah. Joker is wild? Was that Joker is wild? Or is that a different one?
Or press your luck, I think.
Press your luck, something like that, yeah. Still only four sides from the Premier League, though, in the 30s?
Premier League 4, the top couple leagues, based on how they did last year, got 5. So there were 5 from Italy and 5 from Germany.
And was this just the equivalent, like the U.S. equivalent of like saying, hey, we have 64 teams in March Madness, why don't we go to 128, that kind of thing?
Yeah, more games, more money. The power conferences equivalent, get more teams in. Yeah, that's really what it was. Remember that Super League thing from a couple years ago? This was kind of in response to that, to placate some of those power teams.
Man City, by the way, to win Champions League plus 250.
That's horrible. Don't get anywhere near that.
Don't get anywhere near that. Real Madrid also 3-1. I'm saying probably don't get anywhere near that either.
No. Yeah. I mean, the price is going to be the same in January or February anyway. So if you really like that, then it's really not going to change much for all these favorites.
Arsenal 8-1, Liverpool 12-1 begins all the double digits, along with Bayern Munich, also 12-1 from Bundesliga.
I'm glad they're making them play more games. 11 months out of the year isn't.
It's just not enough.
It's not enough.
That's our impression. Like when we close with you on the Premier League season, we're like, all right, we'll see you next season, Paulie. And then like Paul's back in two weeks.
Yeah. Hey. Yep, never stops.
All right, Premier League trio of picks, the three pack, the weekly three pack. What you got?
Yep. Okay. We'll start let me get to the right notes here. We're going to start tomorrow.
All those
couple games on Saturday.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest win versus Wolverhampton. Plus 105 for Forest. Forest was kind of expected to be in the relegation battle, and they still might be, but I like them a lot more than most people did. They've looked pretty good through two games. They smoked Southampton last week. They outshot them 23-5, even though it was only a 1-0 win. And Wolves lost to Chelsea 6-2, and they really haven't figured out the new system of their new manager, Gary O'Neill. And they're not very good defending the counterattack. Chelsea just tore them apart on the counterattack. And guess what Forest can do pretty well? And they did well against Southampton. They counterattack. So this is, again, take the better team at home, getting plus money, plus 105. I'd play this down to minus 110 or so. They're just better, and they have a lot of good players, more good players than a team that's kind of this level you would expect. So Forest win at home, plus 105 is the price I got.
All right, the Nottingham Forest counterattackers, plus 105 versus Wolverhampton. And then Brentford and Southampton, same day. You got a thought here.
So we talked about Southampton just they've had a lot of possession in their first couple of games. They're newly promoted. Possession is kind of what they built a lot of their success in the championship last season on. But again, their defense wasn't that good, and it hasn't been that good. Or it really wasn't against Forest, especially. They were up a man most of the game against in the opener against Newcastle, so you can kind of throw that out the window. So Southampton, not that good. Brentford, you know, I picked them to get into the top half at plus money before the season, and I will stand by that. They got, what, I think 4 points or 3 points from their first games. The loss was to Liverpool last week, so nothing you're really concerned about there. Brentford does not have Ivan Toney. He's the guy who was suspended for a while for a betting incident. That's not the reason. He's just not back with the team yet. He may leave in the transfer window, but it doesn't really matter because they have enough talent up top to replace him and Brian Mbeumo and others. So Brentford, home win, minus 130. I think they're just a lot better. You're talking like a top 10 caliber team against a team that I think will be relegated. Minus 130 is a pretty solid price at home.
All right. We're only two matches into the whole season, correct, at this point? Like, we're super duper
right
still.
Yeah, no big takeaways from anything.
Right? No,
well, sometimes you want to extrapolate just for fun, though.
Can we take away anything from the bottom of the table? Like, is somebody just god-awful?
I mean, the three newly promoted teams all kind of look like they're outclassed or haven't at least caught up. So your Leicester, Southampton, Ipswich Town all look like they may just go straight back down. But there's a few teams like, you know, Wolverhampton, maybe Everton, that look like they might give them a run for their money toward the bottom of the table.
Leicester City will always have the Leicester City year, though. So
that's,
there's always
2015-2016 was one of the most unbelievable sports stories we'll ever see.
It's incredible. What was that, 5,000-1, something like that?
5,000-1 before the season.
To win the Premier League. Sunday, you have a play, and of course, it is a Paul Carr total. What do you got?
Here's your big game of the weekend. Always one of the big games of any Premier League season. Manchester United and Liverpool. Liverpool, of course, they're third favorite for the title. They're in fourth place through a couple of games. They have a pair of 2-0 wins. Manchester United sit in the middle of the table right now. I like the under in this game. We think of this matchup as kind of explosive, high scoring between a couple perennial powers, but both have new managers in the last couple of years, and Liverpool doesn't have Jurgen Klopp. Even though it's two games, they've noticeably kind of slowed their pace. All the stats, you know, fewer possessions, not attacking as directly, etc. So I just feel like this will be a game that both teams try to settle down a little bit instead of running the fast break like they kind of both tended to. So just less chaos in general between these two. That's what I think we'll see. Could be kind of cagey, you know, 1-1, maybe someone sneaks a late goal, something like that. Just like the under 3.5 at minus 130.
All right. Nottingham Forest over Wolverhampton. Brentford over Southampton on Saturday. That's tomorrow. And then Sunday, Man U and Liverpool under 3.5 goals. The rare underplay, but it is 3.5 for Paul Carr. Always check the juice, shop around from book to book. Paul, good luck. Appreciate it as always, sir.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr on Twitter. Kelly and I will come back. The last undefeated market in the NFL. Who's it going to be? Who we're betting on? That's next. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlis. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke. Bob Stoll, you know him as Dr. Bob. He will talk about week one macro trends in college football through the years and talk about his process. If you've ever been interested in breeding a serious better and doing things by math model, Bob will give us a little overview on what he has done through his adult life in terms of math models and technical analysis. We'll get into that. And we should probably look at those U.S. Open odds now that Carlitos has been bounced by Botic van de Zandschulp. By the way, Patrick Everson, our buddy Patrick Everson, tweeted this last night. Per BetMGM Nevada's Scott Shelton, pardon me, a better bet 25 large, $25,000 on Alcaraz at minus 10,000 to win 250 American dollars.
Oh, Steve.
Fezzik? No, maybe not. Maybe not Fezzik.
That is rough. That's rough.
Oh, that's brutal. That is brutal. And then just one from Giuseppe Betta, who says, in broad daylight, officially added to my day-to-day lexicon after yesterday's show, I will patiently wait for the day when someone understands my reference and replies with a nod and a simple ANG. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. Love that name, by the way. If that is your real name. Ladies and gentlemen, this is his real name. It's Chris Felica. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You know him as the Bear, the emperor of the Bear Bets Pod Empire over there at Fox Sports. What's happening, man? College football's back.
It is. Yeah, we added another little fiefdom to the Bear Bets Empire. Myself, Bruce Feldman, this afternoon, we'll have a little show, little Twitter spaces, which will be released in podcast form after that. But yeah, fire Bear Bets Pod, and Bruce and I have some questions, and hopefully we'll be able to have some time and answer them on the pod. But yeah, it's awesome. And just it sucked last night to have the Alcaraz match and the Osaka match going on at the same time. It's like Colorado.
Totally.
North Dakota State game. It was like multiple screen, but sensory overload.
Totally was. What was, okay, I talked about Dion in Colorado and North Dakota State a little while ago. What was your biggest single takeaway? And I know there was a week zero, but it really felt like it began in earnest last night. What was your biggest single takeaway from the games?
Yeah, I think two. Number one would be the Florida State game last week was that, in fact, it wasn't a fluke. Like if it was the way Miami lost to Georgia Tech last year or whatever, but for Georgia, like Florida State didn't turn the ball over. Florida State had one penalty. They just got whipped on the line of scrimmage and got beat. That would be concerning to me. Like, if it was a fluke loss, okay, it happens every now and then. But to just get beat as a double-digit favorite would be concerning. And then segueing to last night, I know it's you are either in the I love Colorado camp, I love Deion Sanders, or I hate Colorado when I hate Deion. So there are no real in-betweens for the most part. But it's going to be very interesting as the year goes on to see if Travis Hunter can maintain. Look, I don't know if he's going to be sitting out two plays every game. He'll be sitting out more. But if he can, I mean, 7 for 132 and 3, and then the impact he has defensively, I don't know how many games Colorado is going to win. But I think if we're looking, maybe sitting here now, and we're looking back at the end of the year, and he has close to 1,000 yards receiving from that great wide receiver room that they have there in Boulder. And I know you like rooms.
Love rooms. Love them. But, rooms and buildings. Rooms and buildings. Yes.
But he has more of an impact than Charles Woodson ever had offensively. And I think you can kind of shoot holes in like all of these quarterbacks that are above him right now. I think he has a real legit chance to win the Heisman. I was 25-1 now. I see him in a lot of places. DraftKings, FanDuel, and a lot of the apps that people have. I still think that's worth a play because I think the quarterbacks that are listed ahead of him, I still think there are some question marks, but I think it's going to be pretty hard at the end of the year to say that this guy is not the best or one of the couple of best players in the sport.
Well, as we know, there's like 1,000 Heisman voters, and I'm not even being flippant, right? That's like legit.
No, it is. I think it's, 960 or something like that.
Something
I am
like
not
that.
One. I'm not one, by the way. I don't want to be.
How are you not one?
NBA. Who the hell knows? But I don't want to be thrown in that whole NBA like voter award controversy. I don't have a vote. I can influence the vote and stats and the things that I talk about, but yeah, I actually do not have a vote.
I think we're cutting down these days down to 870. I see.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
We waited a few out.
So few tax vote is even more important now, is what you're saying.
Oh, great. Yeah, great.
Wonderful. Okay, so, but let me just ask one follow-up to the old, because I thought he should have been a Heisman, you know, before he got hurt last year. I was like, same theory, right?
What's the question?
The question is, what does Colorado have to finish for this not to be an issue? Do they have to get to a bowl game? Do they have to win 6?
It's probably bowl eligibility, I would think. Yeah, I mean, what, Paul Hornung won with a losing record. That was the allure of Notre Dame in that era, though. So but yeah, I think it's going to take bowl eligibility for him to get it done. I think that will be a conversation if that happens.
Okay. Of the marquee matchups in college football this weekend, do you have a bet in any of those? Let's start there at the top.
Yeah, I played under 48.5 in Clemson, Georgia, and I played a Clemson team total under as well. I think this is a Clemson offense that I think is going to struggle against Georgia. I don't think Clemson's wide receivers are great anymore. Like they had that great run of wide receivers, whether it was with Renfro and Mike Williams and the other guys that they've had. I don't think this is the same type of group that they've had. I think they've regressed there. Fumoff is a nice back, but he's not an elite difference maker. Georgia typically does very well in these like big time non-conference games in the regular season, shutting opponents down. I think the word is Etienne from Georgia, rather. He may be suspended, so that's another weapon off of the Georgia offense. I think this has underwritten all over it, and maybe like a 27-10 type Georgia win, because I think Clemson's defense is good enough to hold their own on the line of scrimmage and make Georgia work for it, but I think they're going to struggle mightily to score points.
And Dabo's just going to go with this anti-transfer portal thing till the end? That's his thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's the shame because, again, you can have your opinion of it. You can love it. You can hate it. But if schools like Florida State, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, LSU, if they're all doing it to build their teams and fill in holes, you've got to do it. It's adapt or die, and it's no coincidence that the demise of the dynasty era of Clemson has coincided with the influx of the transfer portal and NIL. So unless they start plugging holes, I think this is the ceiling where we are for Clemson.
Yeah.
And then I'm shocked as well here. I laid 8 with Penn State against West Virginia. I see some 7.5s out there now. Which really surprises me. I mean, the Mountaineers obviously now a big, I don't want to say public dog, because I don't know if it's public money or sharp money or whatever, but this number's come down quite a bit. I just worry about West Virginia in this spot facing a defense that they don't typically see a defense with this type of speed and size in the Big 12 like they're going to see tomorrow from Penn State. The 3 teams that West Virginia played last year that finished the season ranked, Mountaineers lost all of them by an average of 20 points a game. James Franklin is a very profitable head coach in games. And from Ralph Michaels' stat, if you go back and look at games over the last 3 years, they've been favored by between 7 and like 24 points. Basically eliminating the group of 5 non-FBS teams that backups are going to play. Last 3 years, they're 16-0-1 against the spread. So it's like they win and cover these games. I'm not necessarily of the belief that Drew Aller is this great guy who people think he's going to be, but I think the defense is going to be obviously great again. I think the running backs with Allen and Singleton will be fine. I laid the 8, and I'm sorry I didn't get 7.5, but you can get a better number now than I did. So those were 2 plays, and I end up not a marquee game, but I did lay 10 with Rice against Sam Houston State. Wow, I'm on a lot of minuses on my card this week, which worries me a little bit.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. But Mike Bloomgren has been afforded time by Rice to kind of build his program up, and I think he has it in a really good spot now. They got some guys back on offense. You bring in E.J. Warner, the quarterback from Temple, and you're laying points against a Sam Houston team that didn't necessarily make a great transition last year to the FBS. So it'll probably take a little bit more time for them. So I think Rice is a sleeper in that league this year to win, and hopefully they'll win by double digits tomorrow.
Non-betting question to close. I'm just curious, for if you didn't have any bets, if betting didn't exist and you were just like, this is the game I'm most fascinated to see just from a college football hardo perspective, what game would that be?
Miami-Florida. And that's eliminating the alumni bias that I have, because I think you've got, obviously, Miami is a hype team this year, a team that's heard all offseason about the additions to the transfer portal, how they are now an ACC favorite. And then you have on the flip side, Florida, where they've already fired Billy Napier, and your win total is 4.5. You're going to go 4-8. You're terrible. You've got no talent. Now you're a home underdog and on your home, obviously your home underdog on your home field. And you've heard about how you've sucked all summer against a Miami team that has won 10 games once in like the last 15, 16 years, and has not won a game like this in a long time. Can all these transfers come together and deliver and perform? As a Miami alum, this is a terrible spot for the Canes tomorrow, and I hope they can get out of Gainesville with a win.
Sorry about your Mira Andreeva future, but I know we got some others that are super live.
Yeah, we're okay with this. We got the Eagle over 1.5 slams from earlier in the year, which we got going. We got the Bedosa. We got the Bedosa tickets, 550 on the quarter, 27-1 to reach the final, 50-1 to win. And then the day when Carlos Alcaraz rolled his ankle on the practice court, which I think was like after I had done the segment with you, I grabbed Jeff Draper at 16-1 to win the quarter. So that wasn't the worst possible result for me last night.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pumped. Besides the Alcaraz part, which was only just a little thing, they're all looking great. And the seas are parting for Iga, Muhova, and Kalinskaya in Q2. Badosa. By the way, I'm a little worried about that Badosa match today. A little worried.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too.
Against Elena Gabriela Rus. Chris Felica, everybody. Bear Bets Pod. Pods plural. At Chris Felica on Twitter. The Bear. Thank you, sir.
No problem, but have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Is this our last segment of the D? We don't know. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This is our last segment with headphones? Could it be? What's everybody betting on here, Kelly? What's the crowd? What's going on here?
Figure out. I feel like there was three bets made throughout the entire show, and then there was all of a sudden a line of seven people.
I mean, I know I'm about to announce my MLB September wins, but geez, that was quick.
Hey, there's a 9:40 first pitch.
That's Pacific probably, time, probably but... what it is, unless they're betting U.S. Open tennis or something. By the way, the tennis play today is Elise Mertens plus 199 against Maddie Keys. That's the only one that I played after a stellar day yesterday. 5-0 clean sweep, 13-0 on sets. Tim Lawson texts, he says, quote, that smoke was heavy today, unquote. Yes, I mean, wasn't it? I wasn't lying. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jalen Warren's Stan account. He said, who did you just have on? That's Dr. Bob, Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Legend in the business. Trust the glove. No, not trust the glove. 3JackH3131 says, always great to hear Dr. Bob's insight on college football. Makes it so I can't feel my face. Do I need to say that reference again? The old Weekend song, The Weekend. I can't feel my face. When Bob was dating his soon-to-be wife, soon-to-be fiance, but when he was just dating her, that song was popular. And we were walking in San Francisco on Union Street, and he goes, "Gil, you ever been so in love that you know, it's like that Weekend song where you can't feel your face." And I said, "Bob, I don't think that's what that song's about." And he thought for a second, and he goes, "No, Gil, I'm pretty sure that's what it's about." I don't know. No, it's really not. Anyway, numbers, guys. Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Bob Stoll. Pioneers all. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, baseball play for September.
I don't think he likes the legend line anymore.
You don't like it anyway. I said it once. Trust me, I know, buddy. So, again, we fell one out shy. One out away we were from cashing a 65-1 on the Guardians in March, April. Then we were, well, a couple games out from cashing it in May on the Guardians at 16-1. That because the Guardians went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies that month. Could have been better. So just the bitterness of March, April. But finally in June, the third time was the try. Third time was the charm. We hit on the Astros dramatically in the month of June. And super pumped about that. 25-1 at Circus, 17-1 at William Hill. So this has just been awesome betting these monthlies. July, we had the Royals. They finished ninth because they started out really badly. They were 5-34 with runners in scoring position in their first five games. We never could get ahead of that. So they finished in the top 10, but not close. And then finally this month in August, we kind of sucked it up with the Mets. The Mets didn't come close. But we're going to do it for the final month of the season. And I landed on, by the way, this is also available at Circa and William Hill Caesars.
Yeah, just put up the Caesars odds.
You ready for this? The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh!
The Arizona Diamondbacks. Arizona Diamondbacks won last month outright at Circa, dead heat with the Mets at William Hill. They are on the cusp, perhaps, of winning August. And at 25-1, I'm going with them in September. And I know folks might be like, wait a minute, man. They got the fifth most difficult schedule in baseball left. Yeah, but once you get these two first Dodgers games out of the way, it's going to be more middling on the schedule.
You got 25-1 here?
25-1
at Circa. Caesars and Circa.
Yes, 25-1. Here's the point with September doing this month as opposed to the other months. In September, you've got to go with the team that is incentivized to win baseball games, that is in it, and that is going to play good baseball till the end. Because I think there's a lot of throwouts in September where you're like, well, why would I bet on random team here, no matter what their schedule is, if they're already like on vacation mentally midway through the month? With the Diamondbacks, they are chasing the Dodgers. They are chasing a playoff berth, or trying to stay in playoff range, I should say. And they're just playing great baseball. And I listen, they got three against, if you want to go schedule, they got three against the Rockies. They got three against the Rangers. They got six against the Giants, who, by the way, the rumor is Farhan Zaidi, this might be the end for him. So who knows if they're going to be mentally checked out at some point. They will have two of the tough games are they will have two against the Dodgers, but they're trying to win those, right, to after these first two in August and then the first two games in September. They are super incentivized to win. These are home games for the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers. They got a bunch of games left against the Brewers. That's their most common opponent. Seven games against the Brewers, three against the Padres, three against the Astros. But this is, to me, the team, just add another Diamondbacks bet to my portfolio. I'm all about it. Best record. The fact that it was 25-1 was shocking to me. That's the bet. So I got them to finish with the best regular season record, 40-1. Finish number one seed at 12-1 in the National League versus the Royals in the World Series, which is the one I'm most excited about, at 400-1. And now, best record in the month of September, 25-1. That's what I got.
Like it. Like it.
Review of the tennis futures and to see how the market has shifted. By the way, all of our tennis futures, with the exception of the Iga Carlitos parlay, that was the only thing I had Carlitos in, was a parlay. That one is done. Carlitos losing in straight sets to Bodek van de Zandschulp. What was that? What was that? One of the biggest upsets, as we documented earlier, courtesy of Zach Cohen at VSiN.com. One of the biggest upsets in tennis history. But Muchova and Kalinskaya both in Q2 looking good, as Elena Rybakina pulls out of that quarter. And then, by the way, Iga to win it. It is the sea is parting for Iga Świątek, who was double parked outside in her 6-love, 6-1 win yesterday. But no Mira Andreeva now in her quarter. No freaking Collins in her quarter. So Iga might just roll. You know, we'll see. She's got a tougher match against Pavlyuchenkova in the third round. But Iga's looking good. As far as how the men's odds adjusted, Kelly, without Carlitos, Novak plus 150. Novak Djokovic trying to win his record-setting 25th Grand Slam singles title. 24 is already the record on the men's side. Margaret Court had 24 on the ladies' side. So that's really who he's competing against at this point. That's it. Jannik Sinner at 2-1. So you almost have co-favorites, if you will. Then it's Sasha Zverev at 6-1, Daniil Medvedev at plus 750, and then everybody else 28-1 or longer, starting with the American Taylor Fritz.
Was it was Alcaraz on the same side as Sinner and Medvedev? Because I think they got chopped the most.
Yes, as they should have been, too. Okay. Yeah. No, the let's see what side. Now you put me on the spot.
Yeah, here. Sorry, I was just. No, that's all right. I don't think Zverev moved a ton.
Alcaraz was in Q2 on the same side as Sinner and Medvedev.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Those were the two I felt like that moved.
Djokovic and Sasha Zverev are on the other side.
Okay,
yeah, but this is it's kind of why I didn't want to get too involved in the men's futures at all. I mean, that was the only little blip I had was on that parlay, just because it's top heavy. I thought Carlitos would be the one standing at the end. I was clearly wrong about that. But I think it's appropriately priced. Are you going to get in front of the same? There was no way you could have predicted. By the way, if you had bet Van de Zandschulp to win three sets to love yesterday, you could have gotten as high as 100-1 on that.
I'm surprised not longer than that.
I said to Drew, I go, yeah, but did one human bet that? He goes, one sicko probably did.
Right. Yeah,
by the way, then we got a tweet. Somebody had it in our,
really?
In our Twitter
That's
feed.
Great.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there you go.
This does feel like actually more, I mean, look, I know he's getting up there in years, but sure, it sure feels like they're showing a lot more respect for the rest of the guys around Djokovic than you, normally we would see in a spot like this.
I mean, look, these are all young kids, man,
yeah,
who have, you know, generation of tennis has come and gone. And like it was John Isner's line, the American, he goes, the Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic are just greedy.
Just feels like if this happened even a year ago, you don't think he'd be like odds on at this point?
Yeah, maybe not a year ago, but
yeah,
maybe 2 years ago.
Like,
but
Sinner, only 2-1.
No, Sinner has had the best calendar year in tennis, but the injuries have got him. Djokovic has not won a slam this year, right? He has not won a slam. He won the Olympic gold, but he has not won a slam. He's trying to win his first slam of the year, and that would be number 25. But I think it's appropriately priced. I don't think it's shifted accordingly. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just that it's like we used to say about the NBA back in the day. Like, there's no team from out of nowhere that will come and win this tournament. And then, of course, Emma Raducanu turns around and does it at the U.S. Open 3 years ago. So the, even the, but that's the lady side.
3 years ago already?
Three years ago. What was it? It was Coco last year. It was Iga the year before. And it was Raducanu in 2021. That's right. Osaka 2020. Andreescu 2019. Osaka 2018. That's back at the U.S. Open. So, yeah, it shifted, but it shifted as it should. You have any bets in college football? Anything? You did anything? No? Nothing?
I've got
golf.
No, I do. I do. I have. I've got nothing tomorrow. Yeah. I've got FAU plus 14 tonight against Michigan State.
Bam!
Florida State goes down. Jump on the next bandwagon, Gil.
Is that the next? Now,
I was listening to the Great Bear Bets podcast, and a couple of the guys mentioned it there. I believe Will. I think Felica's on it too, but it's dropped. I think it's like 12.5, 13 now, so I think that's why he didn't bring it up.
Again, a shout out to Mitch and Paul. 7 years, follow the money at those hours. Unbelievable feat. They will be first show for them in the afternoon, 4 to 7 Eastern, 1 to 4 Pacific, starting on Monday. We remain in the same time slot. I don't know if we'll be doing it from the D or from elsewhere. I think it might be elsewhere. But we always appreciate you. None of us could do any of this without you, the loyal listener. Thank you so much for your support of VSiN through the years and into the future. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.